human trafficking is a crime that basically occurs all over the state. It's going to occur in urban areas, rural areas, smaller cities and towns, military bases, and tourist destinations.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today we're going to be discussing the status of human trafficking in North Carolina and how a variety of groups are stepping up to address this dreadful activity. Our guest today is Courtney Dunkerton, Executive Director of Alamance for Freedom, an anti-trafficking organization located right here in North Carolina. Alamance for Freedom works with government agencies, students, churches, and service providers to confront and respond to human trafficking in Alamance County and to support the efforts of an anti-human trafficking network in North Carolina. Courtney, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Courtney, fortunately, the issue of human trafficking is getting more attention these days. I guess, unfortunately, that it is, but fortunately that we're learning more about it and its prevalence in the state. But I think many of us are still very unaware of the true magnitude of this problem, especially here in North Carolina. As we begin our discussion today, would you please give us a kind of a lay of the land, if you will, of the current status of human trafficking in North Carolina?
Human trafficking is a crime that basically occurs all over the state. It's going to occur in urban areas, rural areas, smaller cities and towns, military bases, and tourist destinations. It's basically going to occur wherever commercial sex exists and wherever people who are in need of work are lured and trapped in jobs they can't get out of. As you said, the awareness in North Carolina has really exploded the past few years. And because of that, more people are learning to recognize the signs, learning how to report tips. Law enforcement agencies are putting more resources into investigations. Social workers and advocates are being trained to look for these cases. Because of this, the reports of human trafficking are obviously increasing. However, and this is a problem we deal with regularly, there still lacks real data. There still lacks real numbers because that's what people want to know. How often is this occurring? How much is this occurring? How many victims have you seen in your area? But one indicator that's very, very helpful is the National Human Trafficking Hotline. This is a project of the Polaris Project, and each year they issue a national report and state-by-state reports on hotline data. So from 2015 to 2016, the United States has seen a 35% jump in cases of reports to that call line. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty significant. North Carolina is usually ranked somewhere between 7th and 10th in the United States for calls to that hotline. In 2016, North Carolina saw 598 calls to that hotline and 181 human trafficking cases reported. Compared to 2012, in which there were 430 total calls and 100 cases reported. So that's a significant difference in North Carolina. The common venues that we would see here would be hotel and motel-based sex trafficking, commercial front brothels, such as nail salons or massage parlors, online-based ads where sexual services are advertised and customers call in and set up appointments. Labor trafficking venues would be in agriculture among migrant workers, landscaping and construction crews, restaurants, and in homes in the form of domestic servants. Another venue that is sometimes surprising to people would include door-to-door magazine sales. Young people are conned into selling magazines for free trips or college tuition, and they're basically paid nothing. They all stay together in hotels, move around from area to area, even state to state. So that's something we're seeing too.
Well, that's interesting. And I think we hear about human trafficking and often think about it in the context of sex trafficking, but it also does take place with respect to labor. And as you've described, various types of labor. Who are the primary targets of those who operate human trafficking activities?
The primary targets are going to be anyone who needs a job, anyone who needs money, attention, relationship protection. Traffickers use these things to lure and create a dependency. It's going to include homeless youth who trade sex for food or shelter or drugs even, those who have suffered childhood trauma and abuse, and those people who are unaware of our laws. For instance, when it is illegal for an employee to isolate and threaten an employee with deportation to keep them in bondage. It is illegal to force someone to pay off a debt. And so ignorance of the laws is one way traffickers can exploit victims.
Talk a little bit about Alamance for Freedom, the organization that you're directly involved with. What do you all do to serve in this effort? And talk about some of the similar organizations that you work with across the state and across the nation to address this issue.
I'll start talking about North Carolina Coalition Against Human Trafficking. That's a coalition, literally, in North Carolina. And it's sort of the organizing body of various regional rapid response teams. And those were organized early on when very few people were either believing that human trafficking was happening in our area, and there just were very little resources, even 5 years ago. So those rapid response teams were multidisciplinary groups coming together to either investigate, discuss, and respond to victims. We would coordinate training and that kind of thing. So in the beginning, there were just a few of those. Now there are more. We are part of that network. So when we were learning how to serve our community, we got involved in the efforts that were already around us, and we recognized there was just a gap in Alamance County. So we decided to begin in our area advocating for this issue. And because we were connected to the greater network in North Carolina, we were able to tap into those resources. So what we've done is awareness, service provider training, lots of outreach, and we do provide victim assistance, but we're connected to that larger network.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Now, Courtney, what do you currently see as the weakest link in the chain to addressing the issue of human trafficking?
You know, it's easy to just point to the pimp or the trafficker, right, as the bad guy. But who's employing these people who are being exploited? So employers need to pay fair wages to their employees. And they need to make sure their employees are not being exploited by crew bosses. Also, who's buying sex? Who's buying, and let's include porn on that. Who's contributing to it? Who's creating the demand? If there was no demand, these girls and boys and human beings would not be sold. So we have to think of it as a supply and demand issue. The only other thing I would say besides that, I think a key aspect in this whole discussion is the lack of safe, supportive homes for children. Where children are not, they're not being nurtured in a safe, supportive home. And that can either mean a foster care home or a group home or just their biological family. Children run away from these homes where they're snatched up by traffickers. Children develop these traumatic responses to their homes, and they grow up and they are very, very vulnerable to exploitation and further abuse. So I think the lack of safe, supportive homes for children in North Carolina is absolutely crucial to this entire discussion. So when people say, how can I fight human trafficking? You do not have to start a safe home. Raise your children. If you see abuse and domestic violence, learn how to report it. Let's work hard for our children. And that's everybody. Everybody can do that.
I do know, Courtney, that the North Carolina General Assembly has already passed some legislation to crack down on human trafficking in North Carolina, and there's certainly more that needs to be done and can be done. How have these recent changes that the General Assembly has enacted helped, and what else do you think needs to be done if you were to prioritize the needs?
I just want to say the safe harbor laws in North Carolina have been huge in this. Where a 16-year-old girl is not going to be arrested for prostituting. First of all, a child cannot prostitute. They are prostituted. So that's been huge in this effort. And when you hear, as I hear at times, older police officers say, you know, my mindset has really changed because back in the day we would just lock these girls up and charge them, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're looking at them as victims and we're hearing their stories. and we're understanding how they got to where they are. And we're changing our minds, our mindsets are changing about this population. And for me, that's very powerful. That is success to me. So we're not looking at this adolescent or this teenager as the throwaway kid. We're saying, what's her story? How did she get here? What can we do to help?
Courtney, as we conclude our conversation, what can parents and even siblings do to help protect children, brothers and sisters from falling victim to human trafficking in our state?
That is a great question. I've sort of said this before or alluded to it. We know that a lot of victims, they will have trauma histories. So keeping our homes safe from abuse and violence is very important, and giving children the opportunity to report that abuse, giving them opportunities to say, my home is not safe. And also for us to learn how to report abuse so that it's responded to appropriately. Second, if children in our homes are engaging in behavior that concern us, it's really important that we don't kick them out of our homes, that they don't, when they run away from homes, they are at real risk for being trafficked, and particularly LGBTQ kids. These are kids that are very, very vulnerable. Sometimes they run away from home, they don't feel accepted, or they're kicked out. But if there's something your children are engaging in behavior and it's just, you don't know what to do, let's be responsible parents and provide what we need for our kids so that does not happen. The other thing that's really important is that, and this is going to be no surprise, is that we monitor online use with our kids, especially online gaming. We tell our kids, don't talk to strangers. But these days, what's a stranger when you've been playing Call of Duty with them for a month and now you're texting every night? So we have to think about our kids becoming familiar with strangers through online gaming or social media. So we really have to stay vigilant over that.
Great. Well, we will encourage our listeners to get involved, be aware, be intentional about identifying things that just oftentimes just don't seem right with individuals and families that may live in your neighborhood. And if you find something that kind of fits the profile of what we've talked about today, please get involved and get engaged and let the authorities know that, that there's questionable activity that may be going on, because it may really help to get an individual, a child, out of a very harmful situation and do some good in helping to eradicate human trafficking from our state.
And I would say one more thing. People will sometimes tell me about things that they see or think they're seeing, and I think, well, call law enforcement. Oh, I don't want to do that because I'm not sure it's happening. Or call the National Human Trafficking Hotline number. Well, I'm not positive. That doesn't matter. If you see something that you know is not right, make a report. You don't have to be correct. You're not going to get in trouble by doing that. In fact, what I tell people, you might be the ninth person that has called about that home or has called about that restaurant. And what your information might be the very thing law enforcement needs to finally, you know, check it out or go further in their investigation. So if you see something, say something and know the numbers. Have the hotline number in your cell phone. Call your local law enforcement. And that's a huge thing. So that's something we all can definitely do.
Well, Courtney, where can our listeners go to learn more about Alamance for Freedom and your efforts?
Well, we have a website, but I would also say look at Project No Rest, the website that's North Carolina project out of UNC Chapel Hill School of Social Work. They're doing a lot of great things. We're connected with that project and North Carolina Coalition Against Human Trafficking. Polaris Project is a fantastic resource. I use it constantly. I would say go there. And then they have a directory for all the anti-human trafficking organizations in the country. They have a good database for those efforts as well and those organizations.
Great. Well, we will encourage our listeners to get involved. And with that, Courtney Dunkerton, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your important work on the issue of human trafficking here in North Carolina.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.